All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Friday morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we are continuing our studies in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21 is once again our focus this morning on this rainy Friday morning. I hope your Friday's off to a good start. We have our good friend Grogu here with us again as we await eagerly the release of season 3. Sometime. Probably not for a while, though. Anyway, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're ready to dig into God's Word together. This is just a marvelous passage. We began in on it on Wednesday. If you weren't here on Wednesday and you missed that part, you can go back, whether you're on Facebook or Sermon Audio or YouTube, you can go back and catch that archive because it's a really important foundational study. And so we'll be picking up today, looking again at this passage. And let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we do that. Heavenly Father, this is your word that we're looking at, that you've given to us through the Apostle John. We thank you for his words that are your words through him. We thank you, Father, for your life that you've given us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love that you have poured out into our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we ask that you would be with us, that you would help us and teach us, Father. We need your help. We need your teaching. We need your leading and guiding. We need you to write your word on our hearts, even as you wrote it through the Apostle John. So we ask that you would do this, Father, for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking again at the whole passage of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, because it really is one section. But our focus is primarily going to be on the second part of this passage today, as we looked at the first part of this on Wednesday. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's God's holy word. So, the context here, John is dealing with a lack of love in the church. People who profess to know Jesus as the Son of God, profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, profess to be Christian people, but who lack love for one another. And so he wants to clarify some things. First of all, he says at the beginning and again at the end of this passage how vital it is that we must love one another if we are born of God and if we know God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If anyone does not know God, if anyone does not love, he does not know God, because God is love. It's the first time we're told in this passage that God is love. And then the second time we're told down here in verse 16, if you look at it, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. And then at the end of the passage, verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so this group of Christians that John is preaching to and sending out his sermon in the form of a letter, they are lacking in love. Because although they've come into the church, although they've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it seems that they don't really understand who God truly is and what God has done and then what God has called us to. Or maybe they have, but they just need an encouragement, need a refresher, because we all do, right? Even those of us who truly know the Lord and have been born of him and know his love for us, we still struggle with loving one another all the time, don't we? And so we need a reminder. Maybe they just need a reminder, but there may have been some, because John talks about those who went out from us. There may have been some within the church who don't really know God. And John's saying one of the distinguishing marks of whether or not you know God is whether or not you love, because God is love, and God has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for the world. God has manifest his love in the world through his son, that we might live through him. And so if God is love, if God has manifested his love, if God has given us his love, then we ought to love one another. He says that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us of his spirit. So all true Christians, verse 13 is telling us, all true believers, those who really know the Lord, those who have truly repented of their sins, are trusting in Jesus for their salvation, know the Lord, love the Lord, all true believers have come to know God and have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love, because God is love. So we know not only that Jesus has come into the world as the Son of God who manifests the love of God, but also we know that we abide in him and he abides in us because he's given us of his Spirit, and his Spirit is the spirit of love. Yes, he's the spirit of truth, as Jesus said in John's gospel, but he's also the spirit of love. So our call that the Apostle Paul gives us, that we are to speak the truth in love in Ephesians 4, that is a sign that we walk in the Holy Spirit, that we're living by the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is the spirit of truth and the spirit of love. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So, and then verse 16 says, we've come to know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in God, in love, abides in God and God in him. So take verses 15 and 16 together, and you'll see that there's really kind of two tests here, but they're really just one, two tests to know if you are in God. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you're truly a believer? How do you know if you truly do abide in God and God abides in you? How do you know if you're not just making a false profession of faith? How do you know if it's not just superficial? Well, John gives us here two tests, which I would say are really one test of the Holy Spirit living in you. So the first, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? The only salvation of sinners. God the Son come into the world in human flesh. That's where this chapter began. Go back to Monday morning's devotional, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. The spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. The spirit that denies Jesus is not from God. So you have to believe in Jesus. You see, one way people have misunderstood this passage is to say, well, everyone who loves, right, has been born of God and abides in God. They'll take verse 16 without Verse 15, God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. They'll take verse 16 without verse 15, and by that I mean they'll say, if you're a loving person, if you're kind to others, you might be Muslim, you might be Jewish, you might be Hindu, you might be an atheist, an agnostic, a non-religious person, a spiritual but not religious, and all, whatever formula, flavor you want, as long as you're a loving person, that's all that matters, because after all, God is love. And so whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But you can't have verse 16 without verse 15. Verse 15 tells us you have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. But then verse 16 tells us if you've confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, you have to love. You have to love. Because faith in Jesus Christ is not just the profession of our mouths, it is the possession of our hearts. The doctrine we actually believe is not merely the doctrine we profess with our lips, it is the doctrine that we possess in our hearts and that possesses our hearts. And so, if God is love, and if Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the world is the manifestation of that love, we must not only confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but we must love as God has loved us. And by this, the unification of our confession and our possession, the unification of our words and our deeds, the unification of our mouth and our heart, by this, love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence on the day for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. What does that mean? Jesus was sent by God the Father into the world to speak the truth and demonstrate love. Jesus, in John's gospel, you see, in John's gospel, the great commission from Jesus is very short and simple. He gives it to the apostles in the upper room after the resurrection, where he says, receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me into the world, even so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me into the world, even so I am sending you. The Father sent the Son sends us. And so, as he is, so also are we in this world. When Jesus went into the world, what did he do? He spoke the truth about the kingdom of God, and he demonstrated the love of God through acts of mercy that were miraculous in nature, but they were intended to heal and to liberate. We are sent into the world, even as Jesus is, as his ambassadors, as his representatives, to speak the truth. That's our confession of faith. Jesus is the Son of God, and to demonstrate love, to show the fruit of that faith. And then here comes the beautiful verses 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. There's a wrong attitude. There's a wrong approach that we could take all of this with. And John here is sort of settling us down in our hearts a little bit, saying, whoa, don't take this the wrong way. Here's the wrong way we could take this. I must speak the truth and show love in order to earn God's love, in order to become a Christian, in order to get myself in the love of God. You see, he says, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him, right? He says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. See that verse 15 and 16? We could take verse 15 and 16 and say, well, I think that I'm outside of the love of God, and I'm afraid because judgment day is coming, and I might be condemned, and I desperately want to be in the love of God, and so I'm going to try to get myself in the love of God by memorizing and speaking the truth, and by working as hard as I possibly can to show forth love, and I'm going to earn it. I'm going to get there. I can do this. No. That's living a life of fear. of judgment and condemnation that has nothing to do with the love of God. We love because he first loved us. And his love alone is perfect love. His love alone is perfect love. And perfect love casts out fear. So don't take this as a challenge that you should aspire to live up to in order to really show or really earn or really get the love of God. No. No, we love because he first loved us. And his perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We are supposed to have confidence on the day of judgment because of the love God has given to us. And yet he does come back at the end and say, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother, because he doesn't want us to fall off the rails in the other direction either and saying, well, I've already been made perfected in love. I don't need to fear because I've already been perfected in love. So what do I need to worry about loving other people for? I'm not going to fall into condemnation on the day of judgment. I'm good to go. I'm just going to kick back and relax and only worry about myself. John says, no, no, no. That's not how a heart beats that's been made alive by the love of God. That is not how a heart moves that has been moved by the love of God. So we must get straight the root and the fruit, as in so much of Christian theology. The root, the source, the tap is God's love for us. We love because he first loved us. There's no fear in love. Don't live in fear. Yet the fruit of that love is that whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perfect love. You are love, and you've given your Son as the manifestation of your love to save us from condemnation and bring us into joyful fellowship with you. If we've been brought into that joyful fellowship with you, then we should want nothing more than to be in joyful fellowship with all those whom you have brought together as one body of Christ, as one family of God, as one people of God. So, Father, lead us by your love to love today. By your grace and for your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord willing, we're planning to be back here Monday morning, and we're going to be getting into chapter 5 of 1 John 4, and we're coming down now the home stretch then. Chapter 5 is the last chapter of 1 John. Probably finish 1 John next week, but we'll see. We'll see how the Spirit leads and how the passages fall, and if you're looking for a place to worship on the Lord's Day morning in Harford County, we'd love to have you join us at 10:30 at Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're meeting on Newport Drive in the Knights of Columbus building. That's our temporary home. We have purchased land, and we are looking forward to putting up a building by God's grace and for his glory in the years to come. But for now, we're very thankful for the provision of a wonderful place to worship at the Knights of Columbus building on Newport Drive. So if you can make it out and join us for worship 10:30 Sunday morning, we'd love to see you. And if not, we'll see you back here Monday morning, Lord willing. Have a blessed day in the Lord.